Chapter 39. The Sound of One Hand Slapping. I woke up when I felt myself dumped head first into a vat of soda pop. The shock woke me instantly and ought to have resulted in my inhaling a lungful of liquid, but the ramming action of my cheekbone against the bottom stunned me and prevented that from happening. The bowl-shaped bottom was the saving grace. It probably saved me from snapping my neck. So, instead of inhaling a lungful, I floated up like a dumpling, broke the surface, and rolled onto my back. Only then did I open my eyes, suck in a breath, and begin the hungry process of reoxygenating my bloodstream, while at the same time trying to figure out where in the world I was. Lifting my head and draining my ears, I could hear someone moving about. It had to be Joey, badly whistling an off-key show tune, accompanied by his heavy footsteps. The footsteps receded on what sounded like a catwalk, then jounced heavily down metal steps, crossed a cement floor, and departed up a hallway. The whistling faded away to silence, leaving me, presumably, alone in the room. But where? Except for the continuous white noise of heating ducts overhead, there were no other sounds. Just me, treading water, and continuing to suck in big lungfuls of air. The vat's funnel-shaped lid was raised like the cover of a teapot. Above that was a view of metal crossbeams, a corrugated roof, and a skylight. A full-spectrum lamp shone down from above, lighting up the burgundy-brown liquid I was suspended in. It tasted sweet, exactly like flat cola left out overnight. It made my eyelashes sticky each time I blinked. Extending my arms, I gave a strong scissor kick with my legs to see how high up the side of the vat I could reach. I tried it several times, but my best effort was still 2.5 feet short of the rim. However, I figured by springing off the bottom, I might be able to gain enough height to latch onto it. And if I was able to do that, I was fairly certain I could then hoist myself the rest of the way and climb out. The vat was 7 or 8 feet in diameter. The overhead lighting penetrated down into the bog water soup about the length of my body. Another foot or so below that, I thought I could faintly make out the drain. If I was going to attempt a leap for the rim, I figured I ought not delay in doing so. My clothes, however, were a hindrance. I had to jettison them, shoes especially. I needed to be as light and streamlined as possible. Without a pause or a second thought, I quickly disrobed. I say quickly, but soon discovered it's not an easy thing to do while treading water, especially the pants part. It took longer than I wanted it to, but I figured these preliminaries might make all the difference. I wanted my first attempt to be my best, since it might also be my last. As soon as I had stripped down to my skivvies, I shifted into launch mode. First, sweeping my clothes out of the way. I took a big breath and then, holding my arms straight against my sides, raised them rapidly to propel myself to the bottom. Once there, I felt for the drain, positioned my feet, one to either side, and then crouched for the spring. Just before launching, however, the big toe of my right foot encountered something hard. I ignored it. Holding my arms over my head as though I were about to do a reverse dive, I sprang off the bottom, putting all my muscles into a group effort to propel myself upwards. I burst out of the cola like a human ballistic missile. At least in my mind's eye, I did. Reaching the apex of my upward trajectory, I managed to seize the rim, although just barely, between my first and second finger joints. My body weight, unsupported as it was quickly forcing them to straighten. I had to react quickly, so I snatched a better grip, first with one hand and then the other. The rim was now cutting in a line across my palms. I would have liked to have hung there and rested for a few breaths, but it was too painful. Quickly, I performed a chin-up to the rim, using my chin to accept part of my weight. I shifted my hand positions once more. Then I did a pull-up until I was halfway out, balancing across the rim on my pelvis, the way a gymnast does when he makes his first leap onto the uneven bars. My first glance above the rim was like one of those optical illusions that happens when two mirrors face each other, and the image in between them gets repeated an infinite number of times in both directions. That's what I thought I was seeing, an infinite number of stainless steel vats stretching away to my left and my right, all identical, all with their funnel caps lifted. They looked like the lopped-off heads of the Tin Man from The Wizard of Oz. Just then I heard something more urgent. It was the sound of human voices echoing down the hallway on the other side of a set of double swinging doors, both sides of which were propped open. One of the voices was definitely Joey's. I had to move quickly. There was no way I could swing over and drop straight to the floor without breaking a leg. I would have to hand walk my way around the rim, at least a few more steps to where the catwalk met the vat. Frantically, I undertook this task, but it was difficult to make much headway and stay balanced. Furthermore, the rim was cutting painfully into my palms. The pain became too much just as my arm strength gave out. My elbows buckled, and literally and figuratively, I fell back into the drink. I surfaced just as Joey re-entered the room. His companion, whoever it was following with a lighter step. I recognized her voice the minute she spoke.
"Oh, wow. Look at all the vats. What's this for?"
Monica Martindale asked.
"A bottling plant," she said.
"A bottling plant?
Sure, a bottling plant.
What's it bottle?
Soda pop. Don't you know that?
Soda pop?
That's right. This is where OK Cola was first bottled back during the 1800s.
Oh.
This is where the pop gets carbonated before it's bottled and shipped out.
Oh.
There was a pause. Monica said,
"Where is he? He said he'd be joining us."
"He's coming. He said he'd be right along."
There was another pause.
"I want to go look for him,"
Joey said.
"No, He said wait here.